Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
And welcome to the Brown Briefly podcast and weekly radio show here on the Voice of Vachon. That was the voice of Brian Brown, who, after a 30-year career with Time magazine, chose to courageously careen across the continent to create the Brown Briefly. We, the current cadre of Brieflies, try to cater to the curious residents of Vachon Island, centrally located on the charts centered between the colossal cities of Tacoma and Seattle in Puget Sound. We always try to comply with Brian's motto, less is more, more or less.
Unless it's alliteration, and then we want more. Today's episode brought to you by the letter C.
By the letter C. I tried. Listen. Yeah. Craig did such a wonderful job last week with the B's. Yeah. I said, okay, I got to do the C's. Come on.
Yeah, let's do this.
I can't wait till we get to the Z's.
Or yes.
You know what? I was going to look to see who ended up with the Z's, but... or the X's.
The X's
might be. That might
be. We have a lot of xylophones. You know,
xylophones.
Zebras.
Or Xerxes.
Don't worry, that's Z's again.
Yeah.
Right?
Xenon or something. I don't know. So, hey, our Briefly panel today includes our legal consensus builder and former Washington State Assistant Attorney General and two-time Fulbright Scholar, Mr. Craig Bellis.
How you doing, everyone? Glad to be here.
Indeed. We're glad you're here. And on Zoom today, we have our avid defender of justice, our mariner, cyclist, rower, former top secret engineer, Kevin Jones. Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, good to be with you guys. I've escaped the country. We're in Canada right now.
Ooh, in Canada. Yeah. Were you there for Canada Day?
No. We're thinking about coming over for Canada Day, but things were sort of crazy here in terms of mortgage. So we stayed in the U.S. for Canada Day. And we stayed in the U.S. for 4th of July, too. So.
Oh, all right. So. Okay.
How the prospects look for getting back into the United States here.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Well, certain things, yes. Who knows?
Who knows?
We'll play
it by ear. Yeah.
Okay. Kevin, I hear you're on the list now, Kevin.
So. Yeah, that's right. You could be.
Sure that I am.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, hey, that was a voice of your...
At least Pam Bondi's no longer there.
There you go.
Who's the new guy?
That might save you.
Makes me blanch to think of it.
That was bad. All right, we've got historian, professor, host of the Vachon 250, which is a VOV podcast and radio show, Dr. Bruce Holman. Excuse me, Bruce.
The only people that call me doctor is my wife, Pam. And when she says Dr. Holman, I know I'm in deep doo-doo. So.
You know you're in trouble. Yeah, exactly.
But she does call you doctor sometimes, huh?
More frequently than I'd like.
Well, that and your students. I'm sure your students call you
occasionally.
That. Yeah.
Among other things.
Yeah, exactly. We have executive director of the Vachon household, fire commissioner, playwright, and full-time shenanigans coordinator, Amy Dreyer.
Good morning.
Good morning, Amy. I'm Truman O'Brien. I'm sitting here behind the big blue switch now here in the Gene Bosch Broadcast Studio in beautiful downtown Vachon. And today is a Truman show, as we euphemistically call our shows where we have no guest. And so, as always, before we jump into our small talk section, we have to ask, What's everyone up to? Craig, let's start with you.
Nothing. No, I guess
that's not true.
That's not true. I mean, with the 4th of July, of course, down at Quartermaster Harbor for several hours watching the incredible fireworks. And I was curious, do you know who put the fireworks together?
I don't. My understanding is that it is the same private family that donates every year. Yeah, it is a private family that has sponsored it and brought it together. A cousin of mine worked on barge wrangling and boat wrangling and stuff for a long time, and I think he knows. But it is, yes, an anonymous island family.
Who probably wants to remain anonymous.
Yeah,
Kevin looks like you're in the know, but you're staying mum.
Yeah.
Top secret engineer.
I can neither confirm or deny.
The other thing I was up to, Greg Curry asked me to participate again in his music video that he's making for his CD. And that was fun. He's quite the producer, director of.
Oh, yeah.
We had a beautiful day working on that yesterday. So
great. Did you bring the Porsche in? Or?
No, on this one it was the BMW.
Oh, okay.
The little 75 BMW.
Yeah, little maroon.
Yeah, I'm breaking out the MG though for the festival, but I won't be driving in the parade.
Well, yeah, you're going to MC the parade, right? Yeah, we'll be talking about that in a little bit. Okay.
So do you have a TC, TD, TF?
TD is in
TD.
Delta.
All right. Yeah. Classic early 50s.
Yeah. 53.
All right, Bruce. How about you?
Well, 4th of July. If you want to check out the Beachcomber from last week, I had a little article about the current sort of fireworks started in the late 40s with a family at Portage who is not the family that sponsors them now, but sort of the modern fireworks really began in the late 40s by families. This was the Malone family, and he convinced his five kids to donate $100 each.
Wow.
Which in 1947, 48.
That was a lot of money.
Yeah, no, but they started doing the fireworks at Portage, and then it grew, and now it's, in my understanding, there's this family that primarily funds them, and then a group of supporters who help every year because it is not inexpensive.
Oh, no. And this year was supposed to be one of the bigger ones.
It was spectacular. Yeah. I was talking to Todd Gateman, who sets up the perimeter and sort of, guards the firework barge, and he was saying the pyrotechnic guys that he was talking to, that it was kind of an interesting thing. They had to go to Tahlequah to pick up one of the guys because he missed the barge.
So
sort of like, is it going to happen kind of thing? But he was saying the pyrotechnic guys said, other than Lake Union, this is one of the most spectacular in the Puget Sound region, just because of the setting and also the size of it. I mean, it's pretty impressive.
Well, I have to tell you, I missed it. My wife was not well, and I missed it this year. But I have to tell you that there were three different explosions, I'll have to say, that absolutely rattled the windows and shook my house.
Oh, yeah.
One in particular. Yep. I thought it was a sonic boom instead of a firework. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They do
a good job.
Wow. Yeah, it was something. So, Amy. Sorry, you got more?
No, other than fireworks, Sunday and Monday open crabbing season.
Oh,
this
year.
So lots of crab pots out, lots of catching of Dungeness and Red Rock crab, and take the grandkids out, and they just love that.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, the World Cup. My 8-year-old grandson is just a soccer fanatic. He's been watching almost every World Cup game. And he loves Ronaldo from Portugal. So when Portugal lost to Spain, he was devastated. In fact, first day of crabbing, he wore his Ronaldo jersey and his Ronaldo pants. And it was just sort of like he is into it. And then, of course, the Trump fiasco.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
The red card. We'll get to that more. And then, of course, let's see what else.
The hydros?
The hydros, yeah.
We're going to talk about that later.
We'll talk about that later. Okay, yeah. Great. Yeah. So other than that, a great week. And it feels like summer has finally arrived.
It is
the 5th of July, so time for summer.
Right on schedule. Right on schedule. Yeah.
So good.
All right, Amy.
Yeah. same big July 4th fun. We take our dog down to a gal who lives on Harstein, like at the bottom of Harstein Island in the middle of nowhere. So he goes there for 4th of July because we are neighbors with some folks who only on the 4th, but probably, you know, once an hour there's an M80 that goes off. That's a lot of fun. And I went over on Friday. I'd never been to the Muckleshoot Fireworks Alley.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, it is a city block of fireworks vendors. Yeah. It is. Yeah. I was overwhelmed. I had no idea. And they're lighting off their fireworks, you know, the whole time you're shopping. And
they're all safe and sane, right?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Well, you saw that one. There was one thing that went up. So I don't even remember now where it was, but one of the stands went up, and oh my gosh!
Oh yeah,
it wasn't here. I think it was like back in the Midwest somewhere.
Yeah,
right.
No, they're pretty. I mean, there's nobody doing anything within the area.
Yeah, I wouldn't think
so. You know what I mean?
So.
Like it's pretty, for what it is, it's pretty safe and sane in that space. But was just overwhelmed and got a little bit of fun for us to have on the beach. You know, the little like plew, 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 plew.
Yeah,
that's how I like to describe it.
The little stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
the ones that are misdemeanors.
Yeah.
Not the felony version. Yeah.
No, just the little blue blues. Because our neighbor has plenty. We just, you know, have a little bit of fun. But I took the dog and then went and picked him up. But happily, I traded in my 2007 Toyota Tacoma for a 2022 Toyota Tacoma.
All right.
Yeah. So I figured
big boy.
It is bigger than I want.
The Tacoma's a little, yeah.
Yeah, the Tacomas are the, you know, the quote-unquote compact truck.
They grew like every other car in America.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. The wheelbase is the same, right?
Oh, really?
The axle length and everything is the same. So the turn radius is still not too bad, but it is, I would say it's probably like 6 inches wider, maybe like half a foot wider. And of course, but you know, like it's just, it's bigger, right? Like the hood and everything is just bigger. And the truck bed is so much taller as well. Like it's not even higher than my older truck, but they've just, you know,
jacked up
the truck bed, which is not terribly useful. Really. I don't understand that.
Well, you know, turning radius is only important for us Islanders when you're going up Fauntleroy and you got to make the turn to get into line, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I know.
Yeah. Well, and at the new IGA parking lot.
Oh, there.
Yeah. Now that's a scrape waiting to happen over there. But we did that. And then I went and picked up the dog yesterday down in their beautiful drive, but you know, it's quite a ways, but he's happy, safe and sound.
Oh boy. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Little red.
So, all right, Kevin, your turn.
Hey, you reminded me of the, speaking of the fireworks stand that blew up, there was the fireworks house that blew up, right?
On Whidbey, right?
I believe it was on Whidbey. And, you know, if you store too many fireworks in your house, holy smokes.
Literally.
What's up?
Yeah.
Susie and I, we've been doing a lot of floating, not so much boating, but more floating. But last time we were in Anacortes, then we moved over to Friday Harbor. Out on San Juan Island, and then moved up to Deer Harbor, where we had a nice, enjoyable 4th. And now we're over in Sydney, so we made the big crossing of Harrow Strait on a beautiful, light wind day where the water was almost a mirror to go across.
Oh, that's fabulous.
That was always spectacular, yeah. Yesterday, I bring my bike with me, my $30 garage sale, 30-pound mountain bike with knobby tires and the front wheel that every rotation scrapes against the brake pads. So it's perfect training, plus the, you know, 5 pounds of stuff on the pack. It's perfect training for Passport to Pain. From Sydney here, I rode down to Victoria, went past the Empress Hotel, the Parliament Buildings, along the waterfront, very south end of the island is Dallas Road. You go through Beacon Hill Park, which I guess used to be a military installation at the first. And then along Beach Drive and sort of wrap my way back up here to Sydney. Spectacular day. Beautiful views across the water. The Olympics, Mount Olympus was standing out. And one interesting thing about that ride, there's a lot of signs about anticipate deer or expect deer, because there's actually quite a healthy deer population here. But the most enjoyable part of it was you go through, the road goes through a golf course. And so I'm approaching the golf course and I look up like the 14th fairway. And there's like a 3-point stag, right, standing up there on the hill, and two or three others under the trees chewing cud.
Oh, yeah. So,
there was a lot of deer. I saw a fawn in somebody's front yard. So, yeah, it was a great ride, and I'm looking forward to those P2P hills coming up here in
September. Are you gonna give Tade Pogacar a run for his money next year in the tour? You're in training.
You know, I used to have visions of actually being a competitive cyclist that could do well, but I made it out of the novice class. But that's about as far as I got.
Cool.
Wow.
Age catches up with you for sure.
Oh boy, that's for sure. Well, my week, last Tuesday at about 6 o'clock, my wife says, hey, there's something wrong with the toilet. Well, I was busy working on our shows for the, you know, trimming and everything. So I didn't go look right away. And a little while later, I walked into the kitchen, turned on the faucet and no water. I said, oh, I know what's wrong with the toilet. We don't have any water. So a few months ago, I had a broken fitting on my well. If I think I told you guys about it, they just hosed down the whole place, me included, trying to get everything shut off. Well, so I'm expecting, here we go again. So I hike back to the well house. It's dry as a bone. Well, that's odd. Tried to turn on the light, and the light bulb does some weird things. I thought, mm-hmm. I've got an electrical problem. So I come back, I get my little multimeter, handy multimeter, and a new light bulb, and go back out, and voila, we have power. So I thought, must be the pump. Oh, it's more than 20 years old. This is going to be bad. So we drive into town, and I bought about 20 gallons of water because I thought, well, at least I can flush the toilet and make coffee. You know, I mean, the two most important things. And but just as I got into bed, I thought, oh, you know what? There's a pressure switch that turns that pump on. So in the morning, I went back out with my trusty multimeter again. I had 240 volts going into the switch, only 32 coming out. Mm-hmm. So, there's the culprit. And luckily, they had one at Ace. So I went and bought that and changed it out, and it all worked. So back in business.
Back at it.
Voila.
Yeah.
Voila, nice. Here I am. Yeah. Now, that's the good news. The bad news is I was on my hands and knees for quite a while doing that. And the next morning, I could hardly get out of bed because my gluteus maximus muscles were a bit sore from all of that effort. And I got one more little announcement. Craig and I are suddenly famous.
Again.
Yeah, still, I think. So the Lightspeed, which is a company that makes headsets for aircraft, really a great company and a great headset. I mean, Craig's got just a terrific one. They have a new program that they're calling Ask Me Anything. It's on the website is lightspeedaviation.com. And Craig and I, in fact, Craig's the first guy on the list. What it is, they ask us to record some little 30-second blurbs about one of the most frightening things or the most, what did you learn? I don't remember what all it was. But anyway, he and I both submitted, a couple of these things, and they're now published. So you'll be able to see them.
We learned a couple of things.
Yeah.
We learned that you couldn't do it in 30 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It was, I did go a little longer, but not too much. Yeah. Not too much longer. Yeah. But anyway, that was kind of interesting. Today is World Chocolate Day. How about that?
Not bad, not bad.
It was established to celebrate the introduction of chocolate to Europe on this date in 1550, which I think is kind of interesting.
Yeah. Introduced from where?
Well, that's... I'm glad you asked.
I'm so glad you asked.
Yes. Chocolate was first originated over 5,000 years ago in present-day Ecuador. The cacao tree was the first domesticated, and the beans eventually spread to Mesoamerica, where ancient civilizations like the Olmecs, the Maya, and the Aztecs processed them into a frothy, bitter drink used in rituals, medicine, and as currency. I thought that was kind of interesting. Traces of the, I can't even pronounce that, but anyway, it's a key stimulant in chocolate, have been found in the ancient Olmec pottery dating back 1500 BC. And the Aztecs referred to the bitter beverage as chocolate, or bitter water. And that's where the name comes from. So the Spanish conquistadors, Hernan Cortez and the other explorers, brought the beans back to Europe in the 1500s, which we just said. And they sweetened it a bit and added sugar and vanilla. And the modern chocolate bar was invented in 1828 by a Dutch chemist who invented the cocoa press, which extracted the cocoa butter and created the easily mixable cocoa powder. So there you go. Man, just more than you ever wanted to know about chocolate.
No, I always want to know more about chocolate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I will add to that. I'm sad. If you ever see the red Droste chocolate boxes, hot chocolate boxes, grab it if you can, because they have gone out of business. And they're the, I think, the oldest or one of the oldest Dutch cocoa, one of the last existing Dutch processing chocolates in that's available, like commercially available, and it makes just the best hot cocoa. So I'm sitting on some last boxes.
What is the name of it again?
Droste. And it's got, you know, it's got the gal holding, you know, the chocolate making Dutch looking gal holding a plate of hot chocolate in the box. And the box is her holding, you know, has a picture of her holding the box. Ah. It has a bit, so it's the Droste effect, right? Which is that repetitive effect.
Right.
Yeah. So it's this very, very delicious Dutch cocoa processor that has gone out of business.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Well, up in Anchorage, there is a restaurant that has a chocolate fountain. Have you guys ever heard of that?
Oh, yeah.
It cascades down over it, and it's just amazing.
Been to a couple of weddings where they had those.
We had one of those at our wedding.
Yeah. Did you? Well, this one is huge. I mean, it's like really huge.
Yes. But
anyway, I thought that was kind of cool. Yeah. Today is also Global Forgiveness Day, and boy, do we need that today. I got just two birthdays today. There's a little bit of irony here, and we'll get into that in a moment. But on July 7th in 1880, Otto Friedrich Rodweider, an American engineer, he invented the bread slicing machine, was born in Davenport, Iowa. Now, remember that, okay? He's born in 1880 in Davenport, Iowa. Also in 1940 was Ringo Starr. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But here's a couple of things. 1668, Isaac Newton received his master's degree from Trinity College, Cambridge, which I thought was good. And Bruce, you had...
Yeah, in 1898, Hawaii actually was annexed by the United States. And this was during the Spanish-American War, and the United States was very concerned about having coaling stations or refueling stations for the American Navy in the Pacific. Oh. And so 2 years earlier, a revolution, if you will, was sponsored by the sugar and pineapple plantation owners in Hawaii, overthrew the Queen Lily Okalani, was overthrown, and a republic was established. And they petitioned the United States to become a part of the United States. And, of course, the first sort of governor was a guy named Dole. Surprise.
Oh, I wonder.
And then, of course, Hawaii becomes a state in 1959.
Right, 59. And it was the last. We talked about that. Right. Alaska was first, and then... And I remember when Alaska became a state because I lived in Texas at the time, and we were really upset that we weren't the biggest state anymore. We thought, well, that's a bad deal. All right, so I told you that Otto Friedrich Rodweider, was born in 1880. Well, in 1928, sliced bread is sold for the first time by a baking company in Missouri. And this, of course, was on the 48th birthday of the inventor of the slicing machine, which I thought was pretty good. And at that point, it was described as the greatest thing since ripe bread. Wrapped bread, sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, a little joke there. Okay, 1947, the alleged and disputed Roswell, New Mexico UFO incident occurred. And have you seen Disclosure Day?
I have not. Has anyone here?
Yes.
I'm curious. What'd you think?
I loved it.
Yeah.
It was typical Spielberg. Mm-hmm. I'll talk about more about that. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting that this 1947 incident happened today in 1947 because it is in the movie. This incident is in the movie.
Okay.
Which I also thought, just a couple months after the Maury Island incident.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So something was going around.
Yeah. Something was happening.
Something was happening. All right. And, this is a good one. In 1968, the British rock group The Yardbirds disbanded, and guitarist Jimmy Page recruited some new members because they had concert commitments to fulfill. And so the new group evolved into Led Zeppelin. And on this date in 1980, several years later, the original lineup of the rock band Led Zeppelin unknowingly performed their final performance in West Berlin.
Interesting.
How about that?
Interesting.
Yeah, the
Jimmy
same
Page
date.
Did a pretty good move there, it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was on the same date. I thought that was interesting. All right. So, hey, our small talk segment today. Let's start with a local. I got a chance to tour the Thunderbird Treatment Center yesterday, and I found it absolutely wonderful. I know, Bruce, you and Amy went on the same, was it a week ago, right?
Yeah, last Tuesday.
And so some of the things that I found really interesting, they call their quote, patients relatives, which I think is just a wonderful thing. They currently have 77 beds available. There will be an additional, how many that is, to 92. The 92 will be the number in March of next year. They think they'll have that finished. They have a total of 17 pregnancy beds, which I thought was interesting. And if the people have children that are less than 5 years old, I believe, they're able to bring their children with them, which I think is just fabulous. They don't have that trauma of having their mom being gone. They have 9 full-time counselors. This is kind of interesting. In the old VCC, there was a private dining room just off the main dining room, which is a small space. Well, they've expanded that now, so it's considerably larger. And that whole area is kind of a VIP area. And the reason they did that is if they have people of, like chief of different tribes that did not want to, wanted to kind of maintain their anonymity, they could stay in that area. Mm-hmm. In fact, all of the rooms and everything is separate from the rest of the facility, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah, they're actually calling it the confidentiality area.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, tribal leaders or people in positions of authority may not want to be publicly acknowledged that they're going through treatment.
Exactly.
And so it's that idea of having them there, having them part of the facility, but also not necessarily publicly acknowledged. And I think that's a very wise way to approach it.
I completely agree. How about you, Amy? What was your impression overall?
Yeah, I loved it. It looks like a fantastic space, a great space to come and heal and get your mind right and get your body right and get the help folks need to, kind of make a start. And it sounded like they're going to have a little bit of flexibility in the stays, right? That folks can stay longer if they need to stay longer, which is so critical because, some folks it takes a couple visits or more for it to take. Some folks it takes a little bit longer for it to take. So really that focus on, we're here to heal you, and that process can, is not set for everyone.
Well, one of the things they talked about is that the standard treatment is like 28 days. I mean, that's kind of a standard treatment program. Mm-hmm. They're running theirs 45 days, and like you said, but very flexible. Mm-hmm. But that 45-day period takes into account the additional days that would be for the traditional treatment of their tribes. And that's the other thing, that they're accepting folks from all over the U.S., all different tribes, and it's not just the King County area. That's the other thing, that the residents are going to detox somewhere else. They'll be at one of their other facilities, so there won't be any detox people coming. I mean, they'll be through that process, and this is all volunteer. I mean, they have to want to come here to do this. By the way, they are still hiring additional people. The person who's in charge of the physical plant is a Vashon Island resident. From here, was hired here, and he's just doing a great job. Was he a part of your tour
right.
as well?
Two things I was very impressed with was, one, the focus on security,
right.
both security for, people at the facility, but also security for the larger Vashon community. That was a very interesting, they're very aware of that and have structured things, I think, to really address that.
Right.
The other thing was incredibly impressive to me, and they don't have it all installed yet, but it's the artwork. They are developing, an amazing collection of art, native art from all over the United States to decorate the facility. And every room has its own piece of art designating what the room is. And then the third thing that impressed me is they've got a pharmacy sort of dispenses traditional Western medicine. And then right next to it, they have a traditional medicine pharmacy that dispenses traditional remedies. And so it's sort of two worlds existing side by side.
Yeah.
I thought that was very impressive.
Well, the one thing about the pharmacy, by the way, is not a full pharmacy. It's only those medications that the people come with, so that they will be able to dispense those things.
Right.
So they won't be dispensing new medications.
Right.
It's only what they came with, which I thought was pretty important.
Yeah, it's definitely a space where you feel like people will go and be cared for and cared about and, kind of given the time and attention that someone needs to make that kind of change in their life and be able to be in a place that really facilitates someone sitting back and having that mental space and that time to envision something different, something new, something
different,
maybe better,
of
being. Really, you get that vibe in there. Like, I could see coming here and being able to imagine my life differently.
Right. And the one thing that they mentioned was that the island itself lends that feeling to the facility. That when the young woman who was doing our tour said, I'm not from here. And she said, I know that when I first came to the island, I kind of went, she said, and that has that effect on the residents. So I thought that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. The last thing I'll say about it is the ceremonial area. Mm-hmm. Now, I have to tell you, that was in the old Mary V. O'Brien Dining Hall, which was named after my mom, which I thought was kind of cool. And I told them that, and the gentleman that was the security guy or the facility guy said, oh, that reminds me. I had a sign here with your mom's name on it. I said, I got it. Thanks. He said, I gave it to your cousin. I said, I know. So anyway, I thought that was kind of cool. But they gave me the sign from the...
What a space to, create healing and...
Yeah.
Caring for folks. That ceremonial space is very,
really
very
cool.
Did
they? And it will hold all 92 residents. Mm-hmm. By the way, they designed it so that And did you do the voice thing or the acoustic?
Yeah, she did that for us.
You can you can stand in the center of the room and you have this totally different acoustic response from your voice. It's pretty cool. One last thing that I thought was really neat. They're going to be building a temporary sweat lodge, and they have a person who's been trained and all of that. And the sweat lodges are typically made from willow. And they were astounded by the amount of willow on the property and on the island. And they said, oh my gosh, we can't believe it. Look at this. It had to be. So anyway, I thought that was pretty cool. Okay, Craig, since you're going to be emceeing the parade and the car parade.
Yeah.
So
both parades.
Give us a little spiel on that.
I'm honored to do. Regular parade on Saturday is going to be emceed by Jeff Hoyt and myself. Jeff with his fabulous voice.
Indeed.
Has a lot of experience with that sort of thing. That'll be fun. The car parade, by the way, what time is the car parade? 10, I think, is when the car parade. The car parade and the regular Strawberry Festival Saturday parade.
Right.
So the car parade's on Sunday. The main parade is on Saturday.
And now, so the car parade is going to change this year. It's going to kick off from IGA. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah,
and will it come around the theater?
Yeah, it'll come. My understanding is it'll just come around the theater and then go north and then turn in at the chamber.
Great.
And park there like they have for the last few years. Mm-hmm. And it'll be perfect because you can walk right across the street to the Over Park main stage. And listen to all the music that will be starting right away, actually. On Saturday, the music starts at 11:45 over there, and on Sunday it starts at about noon with One More Mile. And my co-host, Mike Nichols, on harmonica.
Yes. Oh,
but a lot of great entertainment, starting actually at 4 o'clock. On Friday, Reptile Man, then Cheap Scenery, J.D. Hobson, Publish the Quest.
Oh. Yeah, Publish the Quest is going to close it out, right?
Well, Publish the Quest on Friday.
Friday. Oh, no, Loose Change will close out.
That's right.
They'll close out the whole festival.
Yeah.
They have to do that.
But Voice of Ashon is going to have some unique things going on here at the Gene Bosch broadcast studio. We're working on some new logos and taglines and colors for our brand. And we'll have posters set up and have people come in. And if you want to tell us which ones are your favorites, you can basically, you know, vote on them. And some of the taglines are, you know, really catchy.
Yeah.
We'll have tattoos.
What?
Not real tattoos.
Yeah.
No, okay.
Aww, come on.
No. Got to move people through a little quicker, I think.
Yeah.
Is that a fundraising opportunity, though?
Oh, yeah.
How much money would folks donate for Craig to get Voice of Ashon tattooed
a real one on my forehead?
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to see you with a death angel on your neck.
Yeah. Ow.
Yeah, I know. Ouch is right. But we've got our new van. It'll be outfitted out, all shined up, and in the Saturday parade with a bunch of the producers. We'll have reserve seating out here in front of the studio. That with a donation, you can have a seat for the parades out here. We'll also have recordings where you can come in. You can do a public service announcement or whatnot. So you can have fun with that. And the car parade, by the way, the co-MC there is the co-MC for many years, Captain Joe Wubbelt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Captain Joe knows his automobiles.
Well, Bruce, will the History Museum be doing Ice Cream Social?
Yes, Friday night. It's interesting. Friday night has always been a pretty quiet sort of part of festival. But finally, people have caught on that it's sort of like it's one of those nights when it's sort of the ability to get people started. And I was doing some research. In fact, this Thursday in the Beachcomber, It's Your History will be a little piece on Friday night and Ice Cream Social. But in the 1940s and 50s, festival always began on Friday night with a coronation ball.
Oh.
Because it was a Miss Vashon contest.
Right, yeah.
And Miss Vashon would be crowned on Friday night to start festival, which is an interesting sort of idea. Because
I can see that accompanying the unofficial mayor.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no, it was a very interesting.
Ooh, yeah.
And for a while, it was actually associated with the Miss America contest. You know, so
it was like a qualifying event?
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, it was. And the winner would go on to the Miss Washington Washington contest, of course, but they'd have, particularly in the early mid-50s and into the early 60s, they'd have bathing suit competitions. They'd have, evening dress.
Evening gown.
Really? I mean, the photographs are just amazing to see from that time period.
Well, that begs the question, what would the competitions be for the modern day Miss Vashon contest?
That's true.
Gooey duck digging.
Exactly.
Band, like, obviously music, right? Any kind of music. Exactly.
Carrying a protest sign.
Best protest sign? Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I was
saying. That's right. That would work.
Making it through Thriftway without talking to anyone.
Speaking of which... The Thriftway
drill team.
The drill team will be back this year. Right. Do you know off the top of your head when they first started doing that?
Ooh, they started that in either the late 80s or early 90s. I don't have that in the top of my head.
I think it was the late 80s because I remember it, from being a kid.
Yeah,
and I would have been, I think my last one would have, I remember it from being like a kid.
Yeah.
Right. And it would have been, because
I researched that at one point.
I thought you had.
I found a photograph of the very first Thriftway drill team.
Oh, really?
It was in my recollection, late 80s, but my mind is not what it used to be.
You can only retain so much,
Right, yeah.
I can't let this go without mentioning that the Voice of Vashon, of course, is going to be selling its raffle tickets for its summer raffle. An opportunity to run through Thriftway and fill up carts with food during a certain time frame. And the people have been averaging over $2,000 worth of food here.
Well, that was before...
Before the price of food and everything went up. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
So if you get accosted, we'll be polite. But tickets cost $20 a piece, or you can buy 5 of them for $80. And if you do the math, that's a good deal.
And then, of course, the Bill Burby run is back on Saturday morning. If you're interested in that, go ahead and Google it. I think there's signs up. Is it BillBurbyRace.com or something like that?
Yes, it is. Right.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the softball tournament, Agron. Head on down and watch some softball.
Are you going to be playing?
I am not playing, but I might be watching.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Bruce. Is it Singer the Whale? There's that.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. That's now put up at VCA.
Right.
And can you give us a little background on that?
Yeah, Singer was a whale, a gray whale, that washed ashore just between Point Vashon and KVI on the east side of Vashon.
Yeah.
About 3 years ago, if I remember. I recommend highly stop by VCA. It's just an incredible sort of display because they've hung the whale from the ceiling in the gallery area, and they've developed a animation so it actually moves like it was swimming along. And Truman, I think you told me about the airport. The guys who put it together.
Rob Wheeler is
Rob
the guy.
Rob Wheeler,
yeah,
right?
He designed the mechanism.
Right.
And I'm telling you, that mechanism is brilliant.
It's incredible.
Isn't that something?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's natural.
Looks like a perpetual motion machine.
Yeah.
It does, yeah. And they actually also asked him if he could make it so the whale could roll and dive.
I wanted to breach.
And he said, he could, but not in time for it to get installed. So that's a stage 2 development, if you will.
But they actually thinking about that?
I think.
Really?
Rob and the guys, and I think Bianca and Maria from the Vashon Nature Center. And they're the ones to really thank. They came up with the idea of when the whale washed ashore to save the skeleton. They actually went over and they sort of, defleshed it as much as they could. They took it to the coop and buried it in the garden at the coop
for almost a year to
get all the remnant, all the organic remnants out of the bones. Then they've laid the bones out and they've built this sort of sculpture, if you will, that's hanging at VCA right now.
Well, the frame, the stainless steel frame, mm-hmm. is the size of the whale. Right. I mean, the actual size
right.
of the whale.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So you can see how the skeleton flexes as the whale sort of swims along. Well, it's very spectacular.
And if you haven't seen it, folks, you've got to go down to VCA. And take a look at it. It's rather spectacular.
It is. And actually, just below it on the wall, they have an interactive digital display that tells the whole story.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
And has photographs and some videos of capturing the whale from the beach, not capturing it, but sort of recovering it from the beach and the whole process. It's a very well done display on the wall there. So, like Craig said, I really recommend you pop by VCA and see
fantastic.
That.
Fantastic. Yeah, I have not been yet. I'm going to be going to the piano fit on Wednesday, so I'm really looking forward to seeing the whale.
Go early.
Oh, yeah, I know. And also the hydros. Do you know who actually, quote, won?
Oh, gosh, I'm trying to remember. I think it was
Middling.
Jake Middling.
Jake Middling, which was the only boat that finished.
Oh.
It was really fascinating.
As happened.
Fashion. This year, I think there were six or seven boats, maybe
eight.
Eight,
I think. There were eight
total
that were planned to go.
Wow. Yeah, and two of them sort of pooped out before the race even started. A couple of them didn't make it across the starting line, and the other two didn't make it out of the harbor. Seven of the boats really never got out of the harbor.
In the best Vashon tradition.
Yes, right, exactly. One of many Vashon traditions that always work out.
Well, you know, it's odd. Maybe that's why, but this year I didn't hear them.
You didn't hear them?
No, I was hearing
them. Yeah, I didn't at KVI either.
At KVI you didn't hear?
Because there was only one boat, and it was early, and it's sort of like, wow. But usually you hear this sort of swarm of bees going by.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, okay, it's the 4th of July.
That one boat woke me up.
Did it?
It did.
Well, of course, now you're on the Covo side here.
That
is interesting. Yeah. Hey, you know, I forgot to mention, when I was talking about the treatment center, during the tour, one woman asked, well, now are you going to be putting in a helipad here at that? And I said, I can answer that. And I told them, you know, I'm a commissioner for the airport. And then I told them all about the helipad, and they were very excited. So
nice.
All of the people that attending the tour was excited about that. Okay. So, Kevin, you're out boating. What's going on the water?
Well, it's interesting to go look at the actual conditions on the water and then compare that to the forecasted weather on the water. And I think the marine forecasters are doing a service to America and Canada by making sure they cite higher winds than you're ever going to see in any one of the areas that you're in. And part of the challenge is some of these areas, like Strait of Georgia, south of Nanaimo, like a huge area and a huge body of water. So, you know, there might be 20 knot winds out there somewhere, but you're not likely to find them right, you know, inside the Gulf Islands. So we're kind of juggling, you know, the reality versus the forecast and see where we head to next. But it's been a spectacular trip. I really enjoyed it.
I have to throw out one thing. I was anchored out in Echo Bay. No, is it Echo Bay? Mm-hmm. It's up on Susha. Right. It's the long, narrow one, not the big area.
Oh, yeah. No.
Is it Echo? No, it's not Echo.
Echo is the big one.
Yeah, sure. No, it's the long, narrow one. Well, anyway, we were anchored out there, and before we left, they said, the state has not, they missed doing the buoys at these places, and they're done like on a 3-year cycle. And so they said, just be careful. So we tie up, and there's nothing forecasted, by the way. And that particular bay is like a Venturi. When the wind gets up, it really howls through there. Well, just about the time the sun went down, the wind came up. And it must have been blowing 30 knots at least. I mean, that little boat was jumping up and down, pulling on that anchor, and I'm thinking, boy, I hope this thing didn't. And finally, I said, well, I'm going to go to bed because we're either going to end up on the beach or not.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the way the wind was blowing. And luckily it held. But I agree with you. You can't always depend on that forecast. being accurate.
Were you in Fossil Bay by chance?
Fossil Bay, that's the Bay? No, yeah.
Yeah, you, that's the you were one. On a buoy?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've been on an anchor there inside of those buoys.
Yeah.
And the swing, you know, you have to get enough road, you know, enough anchor coming out so the anchor doesn't drag. And that means your swing radius increases. And that is not a hugely wide bay. And they're vertical walls, right? Vertical
exactly. Walls,
which is why it's such a spectacular spot.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the wind came up. We had actually had a fairly windy night. Susie, actually, I had been out hiking on Susha. And Susie called me on the radio and said, we're about 10 feet away from the rock wall right now.
Oh.
And I thought, okay, who's 10 feet is that? How accurately? Yeah,
exactly.
Gets the distance right. So I was asking her, like, so can you throw an Oreo cookie and hit the wall? And she said, well, I wouldn't ever want to do that because the other people in the bay might, you know, object to me polluting the water. So I ran back and, you know, the wind by then had died down. Uh-huh. But we decided to put out a stern anchor overnight just to keep us off the rock wall in case the wind had come up, because it was forecast to come up. And unfortunately, I put the stern anchor upwind of where the actual wind came in, because the prevailing wind was from the southwest and the actual wind came in from the east.
Yes.
And it was blowing like crazy. The stern anchor drug. It was attached to the boat in a way that the line was getting into, I was afraid it was getting into the propeller. It's after dark now.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
And, I'm out there with my headlamp and my life jacket, and Susie's looking at me like, what are you going to do now? And I said, well, I really think we ought to probably get the stern anchor unattached from the boat, because I don't want it to foul the propeller. You know, that would be even more of a mess. So fortunately, we were able to do some, you know, reefing and hauling and get that line to where we could at least move it to a different part of the boat.
Right.
But wow.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, yeah, anchoring in Fossil Bay on Susha Island is a real experience.
It's
if you have one of those.
Indeed. And when the winds come up, they really howl down through there. It's just amazing. Amazing.
Yes, but a beautiful island to visit. You know, it's acquired by boaters. It's now basically dedicated to recreational boating.
Yeah.
The island has multiple trails on it. The history has involves smugglers.
Yes.
And cliffs, sandstone cliffs with little pocket holes in it where you can envision people stashing stuff, keeping it away from the feds. It's a beautiful spot.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I love
it
there.
Yeah, what's fascinating, Kevin, is in the 1940s and 50s, the Puget Sound Yachting Association, which is a collection of all the yacht clubs in Puget Sound, went together, and they purchased both Susha Island and Blake Island,
right,
and gave them to the state as state parks. And so we have those two spectacular marine parks, thanks to the generosity of boaters who just wanted to keep them available and not have them sold to private interest.
So what is up on Susha? There is a residence or something there on one of those arms.
I think it's for the Rangers.
Oh, is that
my
what it is?
Recollection? Kevin, are you? I think it's on one of those southern arms, as
it
I
is,
recall.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I have not actually gone by there. I've walked pretty much every trail on Susha over the years.
I think it's one of the arms. Is it actually connected to the island, or is it?
I can't remember.
There's a couple on the very north. There's Ewing Island, which is disconnected, and then there's Harrison Island, which is also, or Harndon Island, sorry.
It's disconnected.
Which
from
is
it.
A disconnected.
Yeah.
And then there's, you know, a couple of North and South Finger Islands within Echo Bay. I'm actually looking at the chart right now. But it's a spectacular place. Great walking trails, great views. You know, you can go to the north end and look all the way up the Strait of Georgia. Then on the south end you can see Orcas. And it's got good communications. It's actually all the communication towers on Orcas reach out to Susha.
Yeah.
So you can actually also stay in touch when you're there.
Yeah, fantastic. So, Amy, I was going to ask you about the fireworks show, but instead, how about telling us about the latest on housing and what's happening on the island? Anything new?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Creekside that's been going up down on Gorsuch Road is they're renting up. They're leasing up now.
All right.
Yeah. So, you know, we encourage folks to get in touch with them. And, you know, they'll have set aside units for 50%. Folks are making 50% of the median and 60%. So they have some affordable set asides.
Now, that's not part of Island of Vashon household, though, right?
No, correct. Yeah, that is Shelter America.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Kevin?
Hey, Amy, I met somebody who's now at Island Center Homes, and he's a veteran. Mm-hmm. You know, the reserve units for veterans, you know, there was some question about, are those going to fill up? And I was in a meeting the other day, and I can't actually remember where it was, but they were talking about, it was actually the house party that you hosted.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And and I wanted to mention, of course, we're a lot of people there, so there were a lot of comments being made. But the one thing that I noticed is that talking to this person, amazingly articulate, very, very insightful, is now on the board of the Vashon Maury Community Council. I don't know if I mentioned this on the briefly or not before, but you know, there's this really intriguing notion to me about when people have this perspective, you know, about who's moving into those homes. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of people think about, well, people who work on the island and the affordability challenge. But there's also people who are moving in and really bringing a skill set and a talent and contributing to our community. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to make sure to mention that the service provided by Vashon Household really extends beyond just, you know, how to get somebody who's maybe going to be living in their car. You know, it goes way, way, way beyond that. So I was just really astounded and very impressed with this one gentleman who's now on our island.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you. Yeah, no, we, Island Center Homes, we, you know, pressed and pressed and had many conversations with the county. And, you know, there were 20 veteran set asides. And, you know, we filled as many as we could and then just said, hey, guys, I mean, it's just, we're really at capacity. So, you know, we can have preference for veterans now, but we are able to exercise what is called geographical or community preference. So we will be able to fill those units by the end of the summer. So we will finally be able to, you know, do what we intend to do with affordable housing, which is, you know, put folks in it. And Kevin, I appreciate that observation. You know, there's a range of people living in affordable housing. And the reason someone might need affordable housing is broad, right? So many reasons. And, you know, ICH, that is our most deeply affordable housing. So, you know, some of our residents are in need of some of the greatest services, but not all of them. And I often like to push back against that assumption that was sort of popularized earlier this year by some community members that, you know, ICH is just sort of this home for wayward folks, right? And all of them need 24-hour care and,
you know,
this and that. And just, you know, without this sort of 24-hour supervision and intense casework, that it's a failure. And that's really not the case. We have a mix of folks. And that, to me, is it's a crummy assumption about people who are in affordable housing, that, you know, that there aren't a number of reasons that people can be in affordable housing. So, appreciate that. And yeah, we did a big push with the coordinated push with the county, with referrals to get as many residents, veterans as we could in there.
So I got one more thing I want to cover, and it has to do with the World Cup. And I'm sure that most of us saw that. I'm just curious, what do you think the mental attitude of our U.S. team was playing that? It seemed to me like they were just dogging it, like they weren't really into it. They were not aggressive at all.
No. They felt different.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I do. Well, any time you cheat to get to a final,
right?
Yeah, in effect. You know, it's got to affect your mental capacities. Yeah. You're just not on it.
Unless you're run by Bill Belichick or you're the Pittsburgh Steelers. When did they play the Hawks in the Super Bowl?
Or Houston.
No, but you're right. I mean, yeah. I think the distraction and it caught up with them.
I think so.
Did you see the little dance that the Belgian team did?
Yes. Wasn't that wonderful?
Yeah, the overturn this on their social media.
Exactly. So, hey, Amy, you got next week. What's up?
We are going to have a yet-to-be-announced guest who's just going to be a great time.
Oh, yep. Well, that's pretty easy.
We're going to have a fantastic conversation with an unannounced guest.
Well, listen, we have Esther Lucero, who's the president or the executive director of the Seattle Indian Health Board. She wants to come on one of those, and it may be your show. So
that's I would love that.
Would you like that?
I would love that.
Okay, great. Well, folks, this is about it for us. So for Amy, Bruce, Craig, and Kevin, I'm Truman, and we'll see you all next week on the Brown Briefly.